Well, I want to welcome back all of you that have been with us earlier in the weekend, and also those of you who have come today, welcome. And to also give a welcome to those that have joined us on our Facebook Live and on our phone patch. This is the 23rd year that we have held these services. It was the brainchild of our late pastor, Elvin Holmgren, that we would have services centered around the Reformation. And it was begun with a bit of a selfish attitude, perhaps. We wanted to have it for our own congregation, and we did for a little bit, but as it has grown, as people have come from many areas and it's been announced and known, we have thoroughly appreciated all of you that have come. It is special to be able to share a time in fellowship, to look at the Reformation, and we're not here to worship the Reformation. I believe Brother Ron mentioned last night that we're not here to worship or place Martin Luther or any of the reformers on a pedestal, but we are thankful what God has worked through them. You know, that's what I believe that, the Apostle Paul meant when he said that we give double honor to those that have served us. And so we can look back 500 some years and see the blessing that has come to us, but we know that this word is eternal. So it is a word that has blessed mankind through all of time. We're going to open our service this morning with song number 157, Holy, 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 number 157. Mentioned on Friday night how it struck me 7 years ago we had service planned, and one of the pastors had to back out because of medical issue at the last moment, and we really scrambled and struggled. What are we going to do? And we had a number of brothers that stepped forward and others that came to help us. And Friday night was Brother Jimmy Mounu was serving, and I thought it was so appropriate that 7 years later, you know, a complete number in God's time, his son was serving us also. And we also have Brother Jacob Seppinen, who participated to fill in. He approached it from the Catholic standpoint, and I thought that was a unique perspective that we don't often think about. And then Brother Donnie Mattson also brought to us about the princes that supported and were part of the Reformation. You know, the gift that God used to bring about this Reformation was done by many people we don't often think about. Shirley put together a little reading about Catherine Luther, who contributed greatly to the Reformation, even though we don't hear much about her. You know, there's so many that we don't see and that we don't know about that contribute to God's work and his plan, just as it is today. But I thought I would read what I had prepared for the opening back then. You know, this is 7 years later. This is the 507th anniversary of the Reformation. But I think when we deal with God's Word, we deal with something that is unchanging. And what a blessing we have to be able to receive what God himself supplies unto us. So I will read this, and then a part of this is an excerpt from the Book of Concord, the Reader's Edition. It's the kind of the opening part of it. But I'll read this first. It says, "As we thank God for his faithfulness through all generations, we recognize the blessing that the Reformation has been. On October 31st, we celebrate the 500th year since the beginning of the Reformation," and this was 7 years ago. "Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses on the castle church door in Wittenberg. Reform had been ongoing since Adam and Eve doubted the love and providence of the God that created them. Life in outward form has constantly changed since our first parents departed Eden. Mankind has been broken and incapable of saving himself, yet God has not wavered in his love toward us despite our brokenness. One of the blessings at looking back is not looking to see if what we have done or accomplished, but what God has done, whether it is Israel looking back through the ages or us looking back to the Reformation of the last 500 years, it is the same love of God that causes us to say that it is in his grace, by faith in Christ, through his word, that we can give all glory, honor, and praise to his name." I want to share an excerpt from the Book of Concord, Reader's Edition, and it reads this way. "The world was changing. New scientific discoveries had opened pathways for understanding more about our complex universe. The ocean, once feared for its danger and depth, was tamed for travel and trade. Peasants and workers, laboring under harsh and relentless conditions, sought revolution. The bubonic plague had claimed the lives of about 75 million people from 1347 to 1351. It continued to reappear in panic European cities. Political alliances long forged between Pope and Prince fractured as power centers shifted. Gutenberg Press in 1455, the first use of movable type, transported ideas from one person to the next with the swiftness and ease. As the medieval era collapsed into the modern, changes seemed everywhere and limitless. Yet even during these changing times, one thing remained constant, our God, who grants forgiveness and grace to his people through Jesus Christ. Despite advances and transformations in science and society, politics and publication, God was working. He gave hope and life by his Spirit through the Word and sacraments. He bestowed comfort and joy in trying and often perilous situations. In changing times, his promises through his Son did not change, nor will they ever. They will never be altered nor revoked. His Word pronounces us righteous through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. He alone is our life and salvation. So this same world that we live, it's a different scene, but in each generation. But God fulfills His promises that His Word declares. The solas of the Reformation are the same solas that we have today. Sola gratia, salvation by grace alone. Sola fide, salvation by faith alone. Sola Christus, in Christ alone. Soli Deo gloria, for the glory of God alone. We pray for continuing reformation in the heart, in human hearts. Let it begin in me. Let's now sing number 369, A Mighty Fortress. Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let's give thanks and pray. Gracious Father, we come before you in that name that has been given above every name, the name of your Son and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we give thanks, Father, that even today as we are able to rejoice over the gift of salvation through his work when he came into this earth, when he took upon himself human flesh, when he walked upon this earth with his disciples, when he went through the Garden of Gethsemane, when he went through the trials and the suffering of the cross, he did it for the joy that was set before him. And we thank you, Father, that he completed that work when he rose again victorious over death, over hell, and over the devil in our behalf. That today we can know that as he has ascended unto you and sits upon your right hand, that we have your ear, not because of ourselves, because we recognize, Father, our brokenness and the brokenness of man since the Garden of Eden. But we also recognize that it is through this great work of redemption, the salvation that he brought to us by faith, that we find ourselves righteous coming before you. That we come righteous in his blood and the work that he has accomplished for us. Because you have given him as a name above every name, today we can rejoice. And knowing that you not only hear us, but that we can approach unto you with the words that he taught us of our dear Father. And so we pray that even today, Father, that this word might go forth here in this place that we are, that it would work first within the heart of our brother, that it would come forth with the power and with the unction of the Spirit, and that you would work within our hearts as hearers, that we could hear this word with believing hearts, that we could receive this word as it is brought to us, because that is the purpose of this word, is because it is a living word. It continues to reach out and to bring to us that great joy of salvation. And we thank you, Father, that even today you have drawn us together in this place. And we pray for our land, Father, for the difficulties we see in our land, the fractured land that we have that seems sometimes ready to fall apart. And yet we know, Father, that all things are according to your will and purpose. As we look back over the ages and we see not only back to the time of Reformation, but unto the beginning of time, we see that your hand has guided man, that you have kept things according to your will. And so we pray, Father, that you would continue to give us that faith to believe and to trust in you, the one true God, the one who has brought to us the gift of salvation, that has procured for us that eternal homeland. We want to remember those, Father, that are in times of difficulty, the struggles and the trials, those that have lost loved ones, the illnesses of the body and the mind and the spirit. There are so many things that afflict us as human beings, and yet we know that out of your grace, your love is that which draws us to a place of knowing you. The comfort and consolation that the gospel brings to us that which is able to carry us from time to eternity. And now hear us, Father, as we pray that prayer together that your Son has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Let's continue now with song number 54, O God, Our Help, number 5-4.
Thank you.
Your appointed psalm for today, we're going to read, is Psalm 122. And that is found on page 479 in your pew Bible. This is a psalm that reminds me of Pastor Elvin, as I think of him as one of the favorites that he had, that he seemed to be able to read and to recite with feeling. But let's read Psalm 122 in Jesus' name. I was glad when they said unto me, Let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Neither shall the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, and the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, Peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. Amen. Well, 7 years ago, we had Pastor Ben Johnson that served us, and we are thankful for those that have in the past provided that service. Brother Caleb Maunu from Hancock, Michigan, will be serving us this morning, and then this afternoon, Brother Ron Holmgren will conclude our services. So let's continue from our supplement that's in your pew there, number 721, In Christ Alone, number 721.
Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we stand here in victory. There is good news, and the good news comes from on high. And this good news comes from a place that we often have a hard time understanding, but it's the same place that this great word comes from, grace. And the power of this victory is more than we can often comprehend, because we come along and we have these things that we think are big deals, we think are problems for us. We look back and sometimes we realize that, well, just today, or maybe it's something from last week or last month or in our childhood that we still feel guilty over. And we wonder that, well, is there grace for that? That there's this one thing that I've tried to confess this, but I don't even know if I've done a good enough job confessing it, that maybe they don't understand how bad it was, the thing I did. You know, they kind of let me off the hook, and they said, oh yeah, everybody does that kind of thing. And they're like, no, you don't really get this. But God in His grace has came to us. And He has not just made Himself available to us where we can find Him, but He has come and dwelt among us on this earth. He has walked with man and talked with man. And He was victorious over death, hell, and the devil. And now He is available, that we can call upon Him. We can call upon Him quietly when we're on our own, and we can call upon Him loudly when we are amongst people. And we have the Psalms that we turn to, and we see all the different ways that we can call upon the Lord and why we call upon the Lord. And you start to read through the Psalms, and it's amazing, because there's times where when we are in distress, the Psalms, they call upon the Lord. In times of repentance, they call upon the Lord. In times of thanksgiving, we call upon the Lord. And in times of trouble, we call upon the Lord. And when you go through the many writings, which I don't think anybody could find them all to read them, you'd have to know German to be able to read the bulk of them, of our brother Martin Luther that we talk about this weekend often, we see that he understood this from the Word, that we can call upon the Lord. And so he wanted this Word to be able to go out, and he did. He made sure, he worked very hard to make sure that this Bible would get into the hands of people, so that this Word would be with us, that this Word would be with us to guide us and lead us and testify to us that Jesus Christ wasn't just here in the flesh at one time, but He is now here in the flesh because we are the body of Christ. And sometimes we might look at ourselves or look at each other, and it's like, well, we might think that we wish we looked a little better, or we think somebody might look a little goofy or something, but God does not look at us that way. He looks at us as His children, and He loves us, and He wants us to call upon Him because He has been victorious. So for today's scripture reading, we are going to turn to the 10th chapter of Mark, page 741 on your pew Bibles. And we are going to read from verse 32 through verse 52. The 10th chapter of Mark, verses 32 through 52. Reading in the name of our Lord. And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them, and they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid. And He took again the 12, and began to tell them what things should happen unto him, saying, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and they shall deliver him to the Gentiles, and they shall mock him, and shall scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him, and the third day he shall rise again. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said unto them, What would you that I should do for you? They said unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit, one on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand, in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, Ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, We can. And Jesus said unto them, Ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized withal shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, Ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great one exercise authority upon them. And so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, and the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away the garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word. This word is truth. Sanctify us in this truth. Amen. As we read through this Gospel of Mark, if you read through chapter 9 and we get to this point where we are, it almost becomes either comical or frustrating that these disciples cannot understand what Jesus is trying to tell them. Because when you read in chapter 9, they had just been arguing on the road about who should be last of all or who should be greatest among them, and Jesus is trying to tell them. He's trying to tell them the way things work in his kingdom, this kingdom that he rules over. And even though he's telling them this again and again, they do not understand it. And I know sometimes we've been frustrated because we try to give direction to someone or explain something and it seems like they don't get it. But sometimes we're also being told something over and over and we just can't understand it and we keep forgetting it. But what's so amazing now in this portion of Scripture is that here the disciples, specifically James and John, ask him this question. But it's like they didn't just listen to what he just told them. He just told them why he is here. He just says why we're going to Jerusalem. We're going to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man, which he's talking about himself, shall be delivered to the chief priests and unto the scribes. And they shall condemn him to death and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. They shall mock him and shall scourge him and spit upon him and shall kill him. And the third day he shall rise again. And James and John respond by saying, will you give us what we want? You know, we have a question for you. They're just waiting till he gets done to tell them this, to ask him a question, to make a request. And it's like, it's almost like you would say this just went over their heads, but it's like they are completely focused on something else. They are focused on what's in it for me. And this is often this thing where we see this happen, where we wonder, you know, oh yeah, well, I could go help them, but what's in it for me? Or, you know, yeah, well, we always kind of want to know that. And so we see that they are not much different than many of us are and how many of us have been. And so, again, we see, though, the grace that Jesus gives them. Because to me, I want to say, don't you hear what I just said? You know, I'm like, I'm waiting for Jesus to tell them, don't you hear? I just told you. I just told you I'm going to die. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to be beaten. You know, don't you guys get it? But no, he says, what would you that I should do for you? He just asks them. In his grace, he humbles himself. And so they ask this thing, that can one sit on the right hand and one on the left hand in glory? That they want to make sure they have their seats secure where they're going. And now we see that this thing that Luther started the Reformation over, that to be able to pay for indulgences, to be able to do some sort of works righteousness, that is not the answer. Jesus doesn't turn to them and say, well, there's a way you can get there. I'll tell you. You know, you go and pay this amount and you do this for me, or you go do that. If you serve in this way, or when I ask you to do this, you do that, and then I will. He doesn't say anything like that. He just says, you know, do not know what you ask. Can you drink of the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they say to him, we can. We can. And Jesus had just told them that they don't know what they're asking. So it is interesting, you know. They just like, all right, we're just going to give them the right answer, because they still want to get what they can have. And then Jesus does tell them, you shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized with shall you be baptized. Because Jesus understands that through these things, that through him going to the cross, that they will be joined with him. They will be together in him, just as we were in him. But then he says this, but to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. Because Jesus is telling them this is, that it is not his, but it is God's. It is the Father's. And now the 10 hear this, the other 10. And they are much displeased with James and John. Because it's like, what are you guys trying to do? You're trying to get in front of us in line here. This does not make them happy. And then Jesus attempts, and Jesus does set the record straight when he says, you know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. So he's saying, you understand how these things are set up. You have leaders, and then there's greater leaders among them that rule over them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And to be your minister is to be the one that would serve, the one that would care for them. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest of all shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus gives them the correct answer. They did not ask the correct question. And so often that can be that way for us, that we don't ask correctly. Or maybe even we try to pray and we even understand that we don't know how to pray. But God in His grace has sent His Holy Spirit to dwell within us. And this Holy Spirit interprets our prayers to God. These prayers that we give, that we often forget our prayers. You know, do you remember what you prayed for last week? Or maybe when you were young, maybe last year. But God the Father does not forget our prayers. And so these prayers aren't something that expire in heaven. And even when they don't know how to ask the right question, He tries to tell them, you don't know what you're asking. But then He gives them the correct answer and says that He is here to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. And they came to Jericho, and as He went out of Jericho with His disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And if we do a little bit of reading into the culture and the history of these times, the people who would beg, people who had something like being blind, were considered to be of a very low status. They were not people that would be associated with. It was often thought, you know, that like the scribes and Pharisees, these people were understood to have been cursed. As John chapter 9, we have this story where they think that it's this man's sin has to be why he is blind. Because they viewed like health and vitality as a blessing from God. And so that meant that you must be doing things right, that God has blessed you. And so since you have health and you can see and hear well, that you must not be cursed. And so this man now, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And so this man calls upon the Lord. He calls out to the Lord as he is passing by. He calls out to him and he begs for mercy. He says, have mercy on me. And here again, we may understand that this man may not even understand the gravity of what he is asking for. Because we often can't understand this. That we ask for this grace, but then as some time goes by, we wonder if that grace was it strong enough? But God, in His infinite mercy, continues to give us grace. Over and over, stronger than we can understand, deeper than we can understand. When we ask this question of, well, when is there ever enough grace? That we've given enough grace, haven't we? God comes to us and He says, well, I give more. Because He always gives more. You read, and when we read through, and we see, well, can we forgive 7 times? Jesus sets that straight, that we continue to forgive more. So we never have to wonder to ourselves, like, well, have we given someone enough grace? Because we know that God continues to give us grace. He doesn't let us know and say, well, you know, you're kind of getting low on the grace. He does not. He comes to us and He continues to pour it out. And so, many charged this man that he should hold his peace, but he cried more. So they're telling him to be quiet. They're telling him, do not call on the Lord. Do not call. Don't bother him. You know, Jesus is on his way to fulfill what he needs to do, his plan for us and all of humanity. He doesn't have time for you. Just be quiet. Do not call upon the Lord. But this man calls all the louder. He calls even louder to Jesus. And when he calls him, thou son of David, we understand that this is a statement saying that this is the Messiah. He is calling Jesus the King. He is recognizing that Jesus is the one true King. And Jesus hears him. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they call the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. So now they see how Jesus reacts, and it's like, okay, now we can, come and see him. Yeah, you know, it's like, now they can kind of agree that he should talk to this man. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Jesus stops. He's here doing the Father's work, which when someone asks us, what is that plan? And it's to go to the cross for us. Yes, that is it. But this single blind beggar by the wayside, who we might say just happened to be there, Jesus stops and addresses him and asks him, how can I help you? He says, what wilt thou that I should do to you? That what would you like me to do for you? He doesn't give him any qualifications. You know, it seems to me that he should have said, but don't make the same mistake my disciples have been making. I've been trying to get this point across to them, but can you at least... He doesn't do that even. He just simply says, the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus says unto him, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. And so this is just, this is so amazing and it's so comforting, because the one that all the people say he shouldn't call upon the Lord. And when he does call, they tell him to be quiet. They basically just tell him to shut up. You are not the one to ask. You know, he's busy. He's got more important things to do. Jesus simply asks him what he needs, and Jesus stops. And now he says, thy faith has made thee whole. This faith that Paul talks about, that we all know so well, that faith comes by hearing. This gift that God has given to us, that resides within us. This gift that comes to us by grace from God has been given to this man now, just as it's been given to us. And so he is healed. And he followed Jesus in the way. He's no longer just on the side of the road begging and hoping that maybe somehow I could have some help. He called upon the Lord, and his call was answered. His request was answered. And now we can take great comfort in that we also can call upon the Lord. And we can call upon him early and late. We can call upon him loud and quietly. We can make our petitions known, and he listens. And he knows how to respond. Even when often we don't know. We think like, okay, I got a good plan here. This is how God can fix this problem. Or maybe this is how God could fix that guy over there. I'm going to pray for that guy because I know how he needs. But God does it by his way, not our way. And we understand that he didn't just come here to give this man sight in this life, but he came to give him eternal life, as he came to give us eternal life. As Colossians says, by canceling the record of death that stood against us, this he set aside, nailing to the cross. Any record of debt, the sin that we have committed, is now gone. So now we sit here as saints. We sit here as saints in God, that though we may still be sinners, we have the advocate in heaven, Jesus Christ, who says, I am he. He says, I am the one who have justified them. I am the one who has sanctified them. By your grace and love, we have now been made perfect, and we can receive this gift of eternal life. We receive this gift of forgiveness. And we know that we can now say that we are justified. By this faith that God has given us, we can also say that we have won the victory. Romans chapter 8, verse 11 says, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. So we have won the victory in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus has won. We don't have to wonder that, is he going to somehow do this? We pick up his word and he tells us by his voice that the victory is won, and that now we also will rise from the dead. So we are no longer dead, but we live. And we live not just today, not just till the date that they're going to put on our gravestone someday, but we live for all eternity. And so we rejoice, and we can call upon the Lord and give thanks and say, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for justifying us. Thank you for sanctifying us. Thank you for washing us in the blood of the Lamb and forgiving us at the cross once and for all. And thank you for giving us your word and coming to us as the word, so we have this good news to share with our brothers and sisters and the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for always having an open ear for us. We thank you that you do not tire and you do not sleep, but you are always there for us, listening to us, understanding what we need, and giving it to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we will sing song number 750, Speak, O Lord.
Thank you.
thank God for this word, don't we? I just want to share two verses with you that came to me as our brother was speaking here. They're from the prophet Isaiah, the 28th chapter. This prophet writes this. He says, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand." When Christ speaks, we have these promises that have been fulfilled here in time for eternity. Now let's humble our hearts and receive the Lord's benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Reminder on the bathroom situation. There's just the one bathroom with a single stall that's available inside the church building. That's the nursery there, first door on the right as you leave the sanctuary. Otherwise, there's that trailer outside that you probably saw. A lunch will be served immediately following this service, and then we will have another service with Ron at 1:30 p.m. Our schedule for our church here, Wednesday, Bible study will be at 7 p.m. Friday, a women's Bible study at 10 a.m. Next Sunday will be Bible study at 10:15 and morning worship at 11. We're going to close with the singing of 138. During this song, a free will offering will be taken. And after that song is done, if we could stand and sing number 666, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow." Thank you.